AviationPros.com is the portal website for AMT, Airport Business, and Ground Support Worldwide magazines. Visit daily for breaking news, industry blogs, and insightful articles from our magazine's editorial team. And don't forget to sign up for our publication's daily e-newsletters. It's all at AviationPros.com.
And welcome to another edition of the Aviation Pros Podcast. I'm Joe Petrie, Editor-in-Chief of Airport Business Magazine. The COVID-19 pandemic has decimated passenger air travel across the globe in just a few months, erasing record travel numbers everywhere. So what markets will recover if the pandemic is over? I recently spoke with John Grant, Senior Aviation Analyst with OAG, about what the new world of air travel will look like and when it will bounce back. All right, John. Well, thank you for taking a few minutes to speak with us today. So I guess the first question I have is, with the changes brought on by the pandemic, how reliable is the forecasting anymore, and how should airports and airlines rethink this process or the data that they use?
Well, Joe, let's start by casting our minds back to January of this year. And if I said to you that 96% of the world's capacity would be grounded, you would probably lock me up, throw away the key, and never, ever expect to hear from me again. Forecasting is always, always prone to different assumptions and variables that none of us can predict. And clearly what's happened in the last 3 months has been devastating. But in terms of looking forward, it's by no means easy and is probably more complex with different and added factors that we are going to have to consider, not least of which is issues such as social distancing and what airports are obligated to do in terms of layouts, separations, airport processes, etc. And I think, in truth, none of us can forecast our way out of this. We can perhaps look at a horizon of the next month and make some good value judgments. But the biggest single issue facing the industry at the moment is we only know one side of the equation. We know how much capacity has come out, but we do not truly know what demand sentiment is for the future. And until we have a handle on that and whether we can stimulate demand and whether we can build repeat travel and the type of travelers, it's going to be a crystal ball, and your guess is as good as mine, I'm afraid.
So how can we expect routes to look after the pandemic?
Very different. We, in OAG, we've run some analysis and looked at how many new routes have started in North America and across the globe in the last 2 years, because suspicion, fact, would tell us that those routes that have only started in the last couple of years are probably likely to be at the greatest risk, if you exclude some of those exceptional ultra long haul services where new technology has allowed them to start operation. The frequency of banks at hub airports, I think, will be less. You know, whereas perhaps previously there were 6 or 7 major banks at a major Midwest US hub, for instance. Certainly as we recover, it could be only 3 or 4 a day. So less frequency, probably less capacity. You know, we're seeing some aircraft sizes being taken out of the market. I think Boeing's replacement for the 757 is now probably extremely unlikely to go much further. So I think routes will see less competition and less frequency. And, you know, that is probably going to be the way for the next 3 to 5 years as we build our way back out of this.
Now, one of the few bright spots that have been out of this is cargo operations have absolutely been booming during the pandemic. Do you anticipate this change is permanent given the changing economy?
This has been a golden period for cargo operators and aviation plane spotters, seeing probably some of the most obscure aircraft types in the world fly into their local airports. But this is only short term. They've classically, in the last couple of months, been moving urgent medical supplies, PPE equipment, ventilators, other things needed by various countries to fight the pandemic. And in a normal world, if there is ever such a thing as a normal world again, those are low value, high volume in terms of metric size, cargo consignments that are better equipped and better designed to be moved by ship and by container. And what we've really seen here is, you know, the urgency create this short-term market. Will it survive and go beyond this pandemic? Well, if we get to grips with it, hopefully it won't, and we'll, you know, it will move back to being placed back on cargo containers.
So given that, what markets do you expect to recover first as things start to return to normal?
Oh, geographically, I think the consensus has been, and we sort of, I think we might even have pioneered this in OAG. Our thought and thinking has always been that the domestic markets will recover first. And, you know, the reasons for that are pretty clear in some parts of the world. The United States, Russia, China, Turkey, big domestic markets with, certainly in the case of the United States, little alternate mode of effective transport from one side of the continent to the other, or significant distance across the continent. But more importantly, as we come out of this, things such as consumer confidence are going to be important. And the confidence that you can get home if a further lockdown or round two of COVID-19/20 appears. And that means staying in your own market, you know, where you're more comfortable, where you may have health insurance that's still valid, because many countries will not insure you for international travel at the moment. So domestic markets are going to come back first. And of course, that's absolutely fine for those airlines who have a large proportion of their capacity embedded in the domestic market. So people like Southwest and JetBlue, although JetBlue have a bit of Caribbean flying, are relatively better protected in that environment than, say, a United or an American, who have a reasonable amount of their capacity placed into international services.
On the flip side of that, are there any markets that may not recover?
Probably over the course of 3 to 5 years, most markets will see capacity coming back. But in terms of international travel, I think there are two ends here. Those services that I mentioned, particularly international ones that were planned to start and were perhaps only seasonal in nature, may not come back. And I'm thinking here in the context of United, who had quite a significant summer 20 expansion plan for seasonal services to Europe, including flights to Krakow in Poland and other such destinations. They may not come back for some time. So I think we shouldn't expect everything that we've seen filed for summer 20 to come back in summer 21 or 22.
So are there any steps airports should take now to help their carriers bounce back faster after this crisis?
Yeah, it's, you know, this is all about consumer confidence and making the processes as user-friendly and as robust and as diligent as we possibly can to reassure the traveler that they are in the safest possible hygienic environment when they pass through an airport. The airlines are going to stimulate demand. There's no doubt about that. You know, they're going to be putting some crazy, crazy fares in the marketplace. They're going to be waiving restrictions. They're going to be allowing changes to reservations. But ultimately, they're going to have to rely upon the airports to ensure that when they entrust their customer to that airport delivers the highest standards of cleanliness. You know, and I was saying to someone today, what we really need to do as an industry is not only have global standards and be very clear about what they are, but we've got to start an industry communications program that says we're open for business and ensure that we build that confidence back.
And now, do you expect this crisis will destroy the ULCC market, or will it strengthen it when we come out of this?
Good question, because it's, I think there are two parts to this. So the ultra, firstly, let me debunk the middle seat myth and, you know, leaving that empty. There are no airlines around the world that in normal circumstances would be able to operate with the middle seat left vacant. And it's a brilliant, brilliant soundbite to say that in the initial recovery phase, when in most cases, and you know, there's a one instance in the United Kingdom at the moment that's gaining a lot of press with Aer Lingus, but generally demand isn't going to be sufficient to fill that middle seat anyway. But will they come back? Absolutely they will. You know, the model they have been operating may well be challenged, but it will be challenged for every airline. So the utilization they generated off an aircraft may not be as high as it used to be because, you know, for all of those hygiene standard requirements and processes, we may require as an industry longer turnaround times for aircraft. So driving the productivity out of those aircraft will be harder. But there is ultimately a place for ultra low cost carriers, and there will always be a place for airlines, for want of a better word, that are being disruptive in terms of challenging the status quo, opening new routes, you know, defying conventional pricing strategies and stimulating markets. And in the United States, I certainly see a place for them. Whether the ultra long haul low cost carriers, people like Norwegian and AirAsia X and Jetstar in Australia, are going to be able to come back, I'm not so sure, because they need 90%+ load factors year round, and the damage to their cash reserves, certainly now in the last 3-4 months and going forward probably for the next 6 or 7, would make it very difficult for them to come back, I think.
And how will international routes look post-COVID? What markets do you expect will come back first?
Well, I think those that are the well-established and those that have the highest proportions of either leisure demand or population diaspora type characteristics. So from the United States, I have no doubt, you know, that the Latin American market from Miami will come back and will be very strong, as will the Caribbean market from the East Coast. And I'm sure as much as that inbound to, you know, the United States, the Europe to Florida markets will come back pretty quickly, because people are ultimately comfortable with those destinations and those markets. And those destinations have actually, you know, historically done a really good job of positioning themselves top of mind for many of those travelers. But again, it comes back to the whole product. You know, Florida is not a destination, it's not an airline, it's a complete travel ecosystem that includes the hotels, the theme parks, and until all of those elements are all aligned and able to offer similar levels of confidence for the consumer, it's going to take a bit longer than we would all like to see.
And do you anticipate will we see a permanent shift in gateway airports?
We will. Gateway airports exist, Joe, because of geography in many cases. And if you look at most of the gateway airports in the US, major, the big three airlines in the US, they'll all have one or two hubs on the East Coast and on the West Coast, and perhaps one or two in the mid states of the US. So I think they will always be there. What we will see is we will see consolidation back to the major gateways rather than the secondary gateways. And I know in the United States you talk about focus cities and focus hubs and all of these sort of things. Those are the markets that are going to be, and the gateways that are going to see the earliest scale back. And indeed, you know, we are seeing it around other parts of the world. So in London, despite what's happening at the moment, we're seeing airlines who are looking at their new networks and essentially saying, you know, we will consolidate our operations at Heathrow. If they had a Gatwick operation, they're saying we will close it, we will retrench back to the core. And that's what we will see happening. But geography plays a big part in why gateways are where they are. And the one thing COVID hasn't done is move cities or locations. And whilst that's the case, those gateways will be there.
And the last question I had for you, what do you see as the biggest threat for the turnaround to the airline market? Is it the airlines and the challenges they're going through, or is it the situation that Airbus and Boeing are actually having to go through?
completely the airlines. In a very simplistic world, you could actually stop Boeing and Airbus production for quite a period of time because there is so much capacity. You know, nearly three quarters of the world's airline fleets are grounded. Singapore Airlines are sending A380s to Alice Springs to sit admiring the rock. Lufthansa are sending aircraft to remote locations in southern France. So it's not about Airbus and Boeing. This is about the airlines, and it's about the airlines firstly understanding and trying to work their way through this, building up cash reserves, and at the same time creating that confidence that is going to be just so, so important in the next couple of months, because, you know, that's important, and we need to keep reassuring people. The biggest threat to the airline market is a hasty and a expeditious opening of lockdowns that results in a second outbreak without the global community being either prepared or have the necessary resources to cope with that, because that would just destroy the airlines to a point where they probably couldn't return, and more importantly would just destroy consumer confidence to a point where, you know, we could be looking at an even deeper and sadder set of circumstances that this industry is facing.
Wonderful. Well, thank you very much for sharing this information today.
You're welcome.
Thanks again for joining us for today's podcast. Make sure to subscribe to the Airport Business Daily newsletter for the latest information about the pandemic's impact on the market. And look for the upcoming summer issue of Airport Business Magazine, where we will talk more about the ways your airport can mitigate the impact of the coronavirus. I'm Joe Petrie. Thanks for listening.